Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones, lost their homes, so many valuable possessions swept away by Hurricane Ian and the floodwaters, of course, that continue, and other states affected beside Florida. So we want to help as we have opportunity to do so, of course, financially, as well as with our prayers. And with so many things that are concerning us in today's times, I think it would be good to study this morning in a spiritual subject concerning doubt. A lot of people are having doubt, but being unsure about one's salvation is not something to have a doubt about. Of course not. And sometimes members of the Lord's church wonder, am I really saved if I were to die right now? Well, this is not good to wonder that. And so I thought it would be good for us to study this question today. Can we really know that we are saved? Well, we should know the answer to that question already. But just to have us in our thoughts today to be sure, and in our minds to have no doubt, let's go ahead and ask this question and then go to the Word of God to answer it. And we'll begin that study of answering that question, can we really know that we are saved, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, sir, preparing for eternity. That's the most important thing that we could be doing. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, here in Martinsville. We gather together in our Bible classes. We're studying, of course, God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together in the worship service, we're striving to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth, but also in spirit, having a proper attitude. And I can assure you that you will be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else to mention. We're always glad to answer Bible questions that you have. Your comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. And something else, if you are interested in having a Bible study, please let us know and we'll set up a time that's convenient for you to open up God's Word and study together. And also, let me mention this, you can write to us. Our address, again, is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Excuse me. Let's get into our study this morning. Yes, we're going to answer the question from God's Word, can we really know that we are saved? You know, the attitude that one would expect of a Christian is that of rejoicing. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. And notice 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And that would be prepared, wouldn't it, when the Lord comes again? So, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 1. And go through verse 6. My little children, These things write I unto you, that you sin not. That is, continuing in sin is the verb here. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, that is, the appeasement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, that refutes John Calvin's teaching, doesn't it? That God only selected certain ones to be saved. Of course, that's false. Now, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's right. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Christ walked upon the earth in the flesh. He set the example, the perfect example. And we should follow that perfect example. So, again, can we really know that we are saved? And I mean right now. We need to know. Because we can know God. As you see here in verse 4, notice again. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, the person that is keeping the commandments would certainly know God, wouldn't he? There's obviously a difference in knowing something about God and really knowing God. Many claim today that they know God exists, but they're not following his word. I think we would all agree that's certainly the case, is it not? As Jesus said in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So those who know not God and do not obey him will be punished with everlasting destruction when Christ comes again. We can rest assured that that's the truth. Because here it is in God's word, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yes, that's Bible, isn't it? So, we ask the question, what does it mean to know God? Well, we need to start with John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, we can see from John 17:3, and this was the prayer of Christ before he went to the cross, that we must know Christ to know the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to heaven, to the Heavenly Father? Jesus said there's one. There's not many ways. Don't listen to those who are outside the truth, thinking they know what's best. Let's stay with the Word of God. Then we can know God. Yes. And we can know Christ, of course, who is the way to the Father. Now, in John 6, I want us to go here, verses 44 and 45. Because we can know what God has revealed to us only through his Word. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall they shall be all taught of God. Now that's important. Let's notice that again. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And Jesus said in John 8:31-32 to those disciples who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to continue in his word, otherwise we cannot be his disciples, one, and two, we cannot know the truth. That's vitally important, isn't it? Now, we must grow in our knowledge of God, and we all should understand that. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. The sincere milk of the word, as a baby desires the mother's milk, that's 1 Peter 2:2, isn't it? And what did Jesus say when Satan was trying to get him to turn stones that looked like loaves of bread into actual bread as he had been fasting? Jesus said, and it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We can defeat Satan's temptation by knowing the scriptures and staying with them, just as our Lord and Savior did. Now, in Romans chapter 10, I want us to notice here, sincerity and zeal, they must be accompanied with knowledge. Notice Paul writing by inspiration, Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were zealous. They were sincere. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How many people are in the same situation today? Countless religious people who are sincere. Yes, they are thinking that they are right in God's sight, but not according to knowledge. Yes, they have sincerity and they have zeal, but not according to knowledge. And we must understand that. So, to know God is to know his word and to obey his word. That brings us to the next point, which is verse 5. Back in our text, 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, in Christ, in his body, the true church, his spiritual body. So, we can know God's commandments. We can know God, as we've shown. We can know God's commandments. In order to obey them, we would have to be able to know them, to understand them. And God is just. He does not command of us that which we cannot understand. Deuteronomy 32:4. In Acts 10:34, Peter perceived that God is no respecter of persons. No, and he's not. We all should understand that. Now, Paul taught the Thessalonians how they ought to walk to please God, and he told them by inspiration, 1 Thessalonians 4:2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So they understood them, didn't they? Well, certainly they did. 1 John 5:3 also applies here. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're understandable. And we can submit to them. God is not going to command us that which we cannot understand. And of course, we must understand the will of God in order to obey God's commands. That just goes hand in hand, does it not? Now, Romans 10:17 tells us, again, Paul, the inspired writer, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So how can we know God's will if we fail to listen and study His word? In fact, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We know that we're under the law of Christ. We study the Old Testament, preach from it. But we're not under the law of Moses. We're not under the patriarchal law before that. We're under the law of Christ, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, many of the Jews rejected Christ. Why? Because they did not know the Scriptures, nor the power of God, Matthew 22:29. Of course, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't know the power of God, but they also didn't know the Scriptures either. And the Pharisees were making laws that God did not. So the bottom line here again is, in answering our question, can we really know that we are saved? And the answer, of course, is first of all, we can know God. Second, we can know God's commandments. And now, the third point. We can know that we are saved by keeping God's commandments. It's just that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated as some people want to try to make it out to be. Yes, we can really know that we have the assurance of eternal life if we were to die right now. Our soul would go into the Hadean realm, paradise. Yes, as Jesus told the repentant thief on the cross, "Today I will be with thee," where? In paradise. We don't go straight to heaven or hell when we die. Our soul goes into the Hadean realm. If we're faithful, if we're a child that's not accountable, our soul would go to paradise. If we are accountable and we are not prepared to die, our soul goes into Tartarus, the place of torment, like the rich man. That's where his soul went. Lazarus, the beggar, he went to paradise, Abraham's bosom. Now notice with me 1 John 2:24-25. "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." So we can really know that we have this assurance of eternal life if we were to die right now, because God cannot lie. And if we're keeping his commandments, if we're continuing in the Lord's church faithfully, then we have that assurance because God has promised it. Now we cannot love God unless we keep his commandments. It's not possible. As Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's clear. No one should miss that. And if we cannot enter into heaven unless we do the will of God, then we better be doing the will of God. That's the obvious situation, is it not? Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." No, we cannot enter into heaven unless we're doing his will, keeping his commandments. The will of God must be obeyed. John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Are we abiding in his love? Well, again, it gets back to the point, are we keeping his commandments? Not just what someone told us is the thing to do. We've got to search out the scriptures for ourselves to know the truth. And we can have confidence in knowing assuredly that we will receive the promise of eternal life when we have respect for all God's commandments. Not just those that we want to obey. Of course, we need to have respect for all of God's commandments in the New Testament. But those who do not respect God's commandments should be ashamed. They should be lacking confidence. As you see in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. That's not comfortable at all, is it? And a foot out of joint. So we don't want that. 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We want to rejoice when the Lord comes again, not try to run and hide, which is not possible. So brethren who are faithful must remember not only to be confident but remain faithful, never turning back, no matter what happens. Philippians 3:12-14, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," that would be the negative, "and the positive in his life." How he had consented to Stephen being stoned. He couldn't just dwell on that continually. He wouldn't have been productive. Nor could he rest on his labors in the kingdom. So he's forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we must continue being confident toward God by keeping our heart right. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3:14. 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." That's right. So we can be assured. We can have no doubt if we can know God, we can know his commandments, and we can know that we're saved by keeping his commandments, staying in his will. We don't have to have any doubt. We can know assuredly that God answers our prayers. 1 John 5:14-15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," that's the stipulation, isn't it? "He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Now, God can answer our prayer, no, and that's what's best. And we should accept that, trusting God fully. So, do we pray with confidence? Now, as we've studied this morning, the question, can we really know that we are saved? We see from God's word, yes, we certainly can. But we have to be keeping God's commands. We can't know God if we're not doing his will. Certainly not. Now, do we really know God? We need to be honest. Do we understand his commandments? The plan of salvation. How many people say all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart and accept him as your personal Savior? Well, is that what they did on the day of Pentecost when the Jewish folks there cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That wasn't the answer Peter gave them. No, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we need to stay with the plan of salvation as is recorded in God's Word, not what someone tells us. Grace only is nowhere to be found. We have to respond to the grace of God, by submitting to his will, doing works of righteousness, not works of merit. No, those are left out. But works of righteousness, Ephesians 2 verse 10 follows verses 8 and 9. Notice that. What about how we're to worship God? We need to stay with the commandments. To worship God in spirit and in truth. That's staying with the New Testament pattern. And we can understand what we're to do. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, Hebrews 10, 25. We're to be adding the Christian graces. How are we to live the Christian life? Daily. Jesus said we're to take up our cross and follow Him. How often? Daily. We need to be fruitful in the Lord's service, bringing forth fruit to His glory. Yes, so this means that we need to be studying God's Word, communicating with God every day. We pray to God every day through the avenue of prayer. If we're a faithful member of the Lord's church, we're hearing God speak to us through His Word, inspired by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not working directly on our hearts apart from the Word of God. That's not taught in the Scriptures. It's false teaching. We need to be led by the Spirit by staying with the inspired Word of God, which, again, the third person of the Godhead brought forth. So, we come to this question. Are we keeping His commandments? Because if we're not, we're not saved, are we? If we were to die right now and we're not keeping God's commandments, we're not prepared at all for death. So, if that's our situation, what do we need to do? We need to change. Submit to the will of God. Turn loose of those things that stand in our way. Since we can know that we are saved, let's ask ourselves this question. Are we ashamed or confident of our faith? Well, it needs to be confident of our faith, does it not? And so at this time, we want to mention what one must do in order to become a child of God, to become a Christian. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. There's no other way. We must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8, 24. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are we diligently seeking to do His will? We must repent, turn loose of those false ideas, turn loose of sinful activities. Acts 17, 30, we must repent, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Making a change of wills and ready to do the will of God. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Ethiopian eunuch did that before he was baptized. Acts 8, 37. After making the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, the church of Christ. He who died for the church purchased it with His blood. Thank you for listening today.